Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Travels Radio. I'm Karen Miles, your host, and this is Jolene Brightson Treadway, your co-host. We also have Malcolm Wallace joining us this evening, and he is a special co-host on the show this evening. Hi, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hi. Thank you for having me tonight, Karen. This is an honor.
Well, it's always an honor having you on. I enjoy it when you come on and spend the half hour with me. Malcolm, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
And good evening. Thanks for joining us this evening. I appreciate it very much. I want to tell everybody the introduction song that I just played was by a band called Bad Boy Troy. They are new. So look them up, check out their music, and show them some support. I will be airing this song through several more episodes, and hopefully everybody will enjoy them. But this evening, the topic that we're going to discuss is going to be about racial profiling. It's very real,
yes.
And it's more than, it happens more often than people think. So I think everybody should be very aware of it and what you could possibly do to try to prevent it happening. So
that is very true, Karen, very, very true. And it is something that should never take place in our country, but does.
It does. I ran into that myself just this past weekend and was surprised because I never thought, actually never really thought about racial profiling. But it happened. I'm somewhat shocked, but I'm angry at the same time because I felt very violated, so to speak. I think my rights were violated by the actions of the police officer that pulled me over. And, you know, I just thought it would be something good to talk about this evening. What are your thoughts on that, Malcolm?
Well, like you were saying about your rights being violated, when it's a situation of an authority figure such as a police officer, and they're in a position basically under our government where they can just operate with immunity in situations like that, and it especially, I'm from Atlanta, especially here in the South, it happens all the time.
Thank you. I think all of us, all three of us, are from the South, and it happened to my son, and it wasn't very pleasant.
But you know, it's not just limited to the South. I have a friend who lives in California, and I don't know the exact details of his situation, but he's a Mexican American, and sometime over the past couple of weeks, he had sent some messages saying that he had been pulled over for no apparent reason, just other than the fact that, you know, he was different from the people in the area that he was in.
Right. That's interesting.
And my reason. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just going to explain why my son got, you know, pulled over too, and it was a very, very racial profiled incident. And I like you, I was extremely angry, and my son had his own vehicle then, and on the back of it he had a very small Confederate flag, and it said, "If this flag offends you, it's due to your own ignorance." And in the middle, it was only about 10 o'clock in the evening, and we saw flashing lights behind us. It was a black police officer, and here we are, American Indians, and he pulled my son, his name is Robert Sparrowhawk, he pulled him over, and he didn't even walk up to the window. He didn't walk up to say anything to my son. He stood with a flashlight at the back of my son's car, stood there and read the bumper sticker, stood there and stared at it, flashed the light all over the bumper sticker, didn't even come up and say anything. Then when he finally did, he was as hateful and as ugly as any one person could be. And Robert looked right at him and said, "You took that flashlight and you actually stood there for 5 minutes. I clocked you for 5 minutes staring and reading, if you can read," that's the way he wrote it, he said it, "that bumper sticker. You didn't pull me over for any reason because I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not speeding. I'm driving careful." It had been drizzling that night, and he simply pulled my son over because he saw a small Confederate flag on a bumper sticker. And I told my son, of course, I was a police officer when I was many, many moons ago, but I said right out, I said, "This is profiling." And I said, "And I will report him if it's the last thing that he issued my son a summons. I ended up paying that summons, and I ended up walking in there and giving them a good piece of my mind. And I also called him a racist.
In my instance with mine was the officer followed me off of a followed me to an off ramp to a rest stop. Now I was having car problems, was not speeding. We had our seatbelts on. There was no reason for him to do this,
right.
But he didn't approach me at the rest stop. He did get out of his car and he stood at a trash can there, and kind of just. I don't know, he just kind of messed around with his hands for just a few minutes, and then he got back in his car and he left. So what he done was, when he left the rest stop, he went to the opposite side where we had to come off this ramp at, and he parked. And when we went down the ramp, I exited a ramp at about 55 miles an hour and went back into traffic. This officer pulls me over and tells me that I was illegally doing 55 on the interstate and could not do that. And I had swerved slightly. And I was just shocked, you know, because it went from there. He pulls me out of my car and has me go to the back of my car and then proceeds to question me. And he tells me, I want you to tell me the truth. You know, and I was like, okay, you know, because I'm still not quite sure why he's pulled me over, because I knew I hadn't done anything.
Right.
And he says, have you been to a hospital? And I was like, no. And I started to get, you know, the feeling that he was very, well, he was very defensive. He was up in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And he demanded to know if I had prescription narcotics in my vehicle, which I didn't. The only type of prescription I had was for a bottle of Zyrtec, which was in my purse, which I now will not take. I had not taken the first pill out. So I intend on getting rid of those soon, because he had opened the bottle and stuck his fingers in the bottle, minus
right.
the glove.
And he's not supposed to do that.
No, he's not. But he demanded to know where I had been, why I had been, and where I was going. Now, I noticed stuff about him because I thought he was a Tennessee State Trooper. He was not. He got out of the vehicle. He went to the passenger side, which my cousin was with me, and she heard, you know, what he said, and then he questioned her as well. But what I found out was he did not run the tag on my vehicle. He did not run my license, which I stood and I was very aware of that. He finally let us go. He didn't tell me his name. And once I started making phone calls and checking into it, I learned that they are pulling people over in the state of Tennessee on the stretch of I-75. That has cars with Kentucky tags on them, because they've had people, which I understand they've had people coming in with drugs, but I feel that they should have a reason to pull you over, mm-hmm. not just because of the tag on your car.
Mm-hmm.
That is wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Just because you come from an area that maybe, you know, something's going on, that they're bringing drugs from or whatever, just because you happen to be from that area doesn't mean that you're committing any kind of crime. Now, Karen, in your instance, who else, was it just you in the car, or were there other females with you?
It was myself, my cousin, and her 7-year-old son. And her 7-year-old son happens to be half white, half Mexican.
Yeah. Okay. Now, see, that's just an instance where this policeman he saw two women and a child in a car, and that was, you know, someone that he could, you know, exert some authority over. You know, this is just an abuse of authority, is what it is.
Exactly.
And now your son, who was when he was pulled over, was he a young guy by himself?
Are you speaking to me, Malcolm?
Yes.
Yes. My son is 22 years old, and yes, he is a young man, and he had been approached many times by the James City County Police Department to become a police officer because he is very athletic. He is a clean-cut young man. They have admired him for years. They literally watched him grow up because the way I've lived here for as long as he came, you know, onto this earth with, you know, and we have lived in the same home for all of his growing years. And so through the years, as they come through the neighborhoods, they get to know us. But see, this was York County, and York County does not know us, and York County does not get along with James City County. The counties do not see eye to eye, and therefore James City officers do not like York County officers. So I was with him, and because he was a young man, and, you know, and he even asked me, do you think, you know, that it would be all right if I put this on my, because he's proud of his Southern heritage. And it's not the kind of proud, I'm a tough guy, I can whip your butt type proud. It's the proud, I'm a Southern person, I grew up in the South, I'm proud of my Southern heritage, I'm proud of my mother's Southern heritage, and so on. And he holds the deep South in a very honorable, very respectful way. But this man,
a lot of us here in the South do.
Yes. And here was an African American police officer standing behind the car for 5 minutes without approaching us and just standing there with a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I'm timing him, and I said, Robert, it's been 5 minutes and he's still standing there. I said, you know, I don't know if he's running your plate. I didn't look like he was, and I was like, this isn't right. He hasn't even approached us, and when he did, he had nothing to go on, not one single thing.
Well, again, though, that's the same situation where it's someone placed in a position of authority, and he sees a young man and a lady in a truck or a car, and it has this Confederate flag on it, and he's in a position to use his authority to intimidate these people.
Exactly.
And, you know, and in a small town or rural area, it doesn't do any good to complain to anybody because all of these people know each other, and they're going to cover up for one another.
Well, you're very right about that.
Hey, guys, we have a caller online, and I'm going to bring him in real quick. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. I really like the topic, and I just want to let you know, racial profiling is going on even here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Some time back, probably about 12 years ago, I was driving along, and I was pulled over by a cop who was going the opposite direction. I was doing nothing wrong, but I've got very, very long hair. And it just so happened that I study a bit with some of the Native American ways, and I just got done doing a sweat lodge.
Oh, my goodness.
And I had with me sweetgrass, flat cedar, sage. I also had a chanumpa with kinnikinnick to load the chanumpa with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The cop turns around, he pulls me over, and I just got done a sweat lodge, so I smudged my car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the inside of the car smelled like sage.
Yes.
He swore up and down that I was smoking marijuana in the car, had me get out of the car. It was 114 degrees out, and I stood outside while he proceeded to tear the car apart, found the chanumpa and found the kinnikinnick, and told me that it was marijuana. And took me in, and I stayed in holding for 6 hours until they got some testing back, and they discovered that it was kinnikinnick, and then there was nothing but that was smoked inside of that pipe.
Exactly right.
And when I got the chanumpa back, there was a big scrape going down the inside of my bowl. And I was very upset by it because that's, for those of you who do not know, that's a prayer pipe.
Yes, it is.
And it's a very sacred item. And that stone is sacred both below and above ground and should be mm-hmm. observed as so. And that mm-hmm. felt very violating. And there was no restitution for me.
Did Kelly, did you ever talk to an attorney about it?
the money that it would have took, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just if you don't have the finances, you got to take your bumps when the government gives it to you because you don't have the money to fight it.
That's true. I was
that's the way it is.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you know, I was informed that it wouldn't do me any good because the officer could just say whatever he wanted.
Suspicion, and that was it. They got it on suspicion. He followed it through. It didn't pan out. So it's all no harm, no foul. I was detained for 6 hours.
I would think that you would have been able to do something. And that's the reason why I'm speaking out about it now, because I can't do anything legal-wise because, you know, it's not going to do me any good to go to court. And I thought about that because a police officer has more pull in the court system than what you or I would have.
You know what this sounds like? You know what this town's like? I'll tell you what this town's like. George Maloof gets pulled over, intoxicated with alcohol, and they find cocaine on him. He apologizes, makes a donation to the city council, all's forgiven. He's the owner of the Palm.
Oh, my goodness.
Money talks.
You see, I certainly know what you're speaking of with the sweat lodge because I raised my son in a sweat lodge here in Williamsburg, Virginia. And he became the firekeeper when he became of age at 18. I too lived when I was raising my son in the sweat. And I have done many, many sweats in the lodges and even in the Turtle Lodge. This right here, and I up and spoke, and I told this officer, I said, we are American Indians. I said, you have no right to stop my son. He has done nothing wrong. He's not speeding. I was a police officer when I was a very young girl, and when I say young, I was the youngest they had ever hired. I was 18 years old, and they had to get written permission from the city manager for me to carry a gun, and it was approved. And so I told him, I said, he's not speeding. He's with his mother. And I emphasized mother very sternly. I said, I know the law. I have academy books at home. You have no right to pull him. And he got very, he had an attitude. He got very irate. He said that he didn't care whether I was a police officer or not. I said, you York County people are very, very, very ignorant. And he said, well, if you think I'm ignorant, I'll write your son out a summons. I said, that right there is revenge. And I said, and I will see you in court. And do you know, he told the judge that my son had a sticker that he didn't care for. And I said, it didn't matter. That sticker is on sale at all the stores in Gloucester, Virginia.
And it's freedom of speech.
Exactly.
Freedom of speech. So he's trying to impose his opinions as an officer upon his rights for freedom of speech.
Exactly. That is it right there. And I told Robert, I said, don't say a word to him. Don't utter a sound. So when I got into the room with my son, of course, he being of age, he had to say, you know, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He had his mother in the car and so on. And that they had this man had stood there for 5 minutes because his mother clocked him. And it was the sticker that he evidently, his ignorance must have showed because that's what it said, due to your own ignorance. And it must have struck a nerve with him. So that's exactly what we went through. And from that point on, I said, I told my son, don't you ever go into York County again. I said, because he will not forget us. He's not going to forget either one of us.
Well, at this time, I'd just like to say that it sounds like you're a woman who remembers the great creator and Many blessings to you and your family. And Karen, you're just an angel. You know I love you. We found each other because of the Red Path and became internet friends. And she's scandalous when it comes to Battleship Online, but aside from that, she's just one of the best pals you can have. And I'm glad she's brought this topic up because it's a topic that needed to be addressed. That racial profiling is still happening today. It's happening on different levels. Just because we don't see the signs on the wall that say coloreds only for a bathroom that's segregated from everybody else, and we don't see the people in the back of the bus anymore, this isn't just about the black society. I mean, a lot of that's been overcome in so many ways. It now exists within other levels. I mean, the Native Americans have been repressed and profiled, and still I think the federal government is still taking revenge, and they need to free Leonard Peltzer and get their heads out of their asses.
Thank you.
I want to ask Malcolm a quick question. Malcolm, the friend that you were speaking about, was he able to do anything about his situation, or did he just kind of let it go?
I believe he just kind of let it go because, again, it's, you know, it's a situation like the caller had mentioned. By the time you get him into court and try to do anything about it, it's cost you thousands and thousands of dollars, and most likely nothing's going to come of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's all about the power, you know, them using their power to abuse. You know, I mean, there's no reason for any of this to take place. I mean, if they're going to search for drugs, then they need to look for the areas that it's to be expected to be in, you know, mm-hmm. not a vehicle with two women and a child driving down the road.
Exactly. You know, or maybe they need to look for someone who's actually selling drugs rather than just because of their license plate on your car.
Or the length of their hair.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And, the situation in Las Vegas where they took you in and had to wait until they got the test back, why weren't they able to, you know, test that on the spot there on the highway?
Because they didn't have their kits available at the time. So he had to take me in downtown to process it. He even told me that. He says, usually we could do this here on the street. He says, but I don't have the kit, so you got to come with me. We're busy right now. So they held me.
Because of their incompetence, you were, like, severely inconvenienced.
You were held against your will. That was an illegal hold.
And my car was damaged while I was gone.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they tried to tow it, and they screwed up the front end on it. Well, I got the towing company on that one. They fixed it.
Well, that shows that there are those of us out there that they actually target.
Yeah.
They literally target. And it seemed like with my case, with your case, all the cases involved, we were targeted.
I think that it was because of my back window as well that drew attention. Because once you turned around and got behind me, my back window says, Got Ghost, Paranormal Investigation Team of Nevada.
There you go.
It could have very well been, yeah.
Yeah.
And see, I made a point to tell...
He specifically asked me, so are you a ghost hunter? And I said, well, yeah, if you want to call it that, yeah. Just to be quick and simple with him without trying to educate the man on the spot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not
wanted.
You know, they're not wanted, and I'm not a hunter. I'm an investigator.
Yeah. Right. So I made a point to let this officer know that my father was a retired police officer. So he was aware that he continued to do it anyway. We're actually down to the last 90 seconds of the show. So I'm going to let Kelly, you want to put your websites out real quick, and then Malcolm, you too.
My website for the Paranormal Investigation Team is PitonLV, that's PitonLV.com. And for one of the best kick-ass morning shows that you'll ever listen to, it's Pararock TV. That starts at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. It's called Hippie Nation, and it's good classic rock, and we support AIM.
Wonderful.
Oh, Pararock, yes. I've heard of you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, AIM is great.
Yes, AIM is great.
Well, Malcolm, do you want to put out the website for Truth Transmission?
Yes, it's www.truthtransmission.com, and in about 30 minutes we have Starfire Tour coming on.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Well, guys, it looks like we are now finishing up with the show. Thank everybody for coming on tonight and talking about this, and it was something that needed to be gotten out there, and we may do a follow-up show later on. But anyway, you can find me on Facebook. Just put look up K Miles 2. My team's Afterlife Investigations of Kentucky. You can also find us there as well.
Do not accept battleship requests from her.
No, I play a mean game battleship. But everybody, you have a great evening. And Kelly, I'll catch you on Skype in a little bit.
Yeah, you're probably going to try to invite me, you see, wench.
Yes, I am. I'm up for a good game battleship now.
It was a pleasure meeting everybody. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Karen, for having me on.
Thank you, Jolene.
Have a good evening, folks.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Good night.